National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can turn it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast that you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the side, going down out of your shop talk right here in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Mr. Joseph Ward, the mouth of the South, your mother's boyfriend, that dude. Yeah, just that motherfucking dude. That is how we go down right here in the South on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com, where it go down and stay down to the network. Pro Black Network, where we deliver information, news, all types of stuff for our folk. Hey, like I said, our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. This is the Freedom Train Network, the Fix Sports Podcast, Joseph Ward, and we're here to break it to you like we're supposed to. Hey, man, you know the Fix is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants, and On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through our African history book series, the blog series, the YouTube channel, the African History Curriculum app, which is available in the Google Play Store. Like, go download the app. And like, it's a free app with a whole bunch of African history information. Take your ass to the Google Play Store. All you Android people, take your ass to the Google Play Store. Type in On the Shoulders of Giants. Download the goddamn app. Study. Use the information. Learn. It's free information. All you got to do, go to the Google Play Store. All my Android users, go to the Google Play Store. Type in On the Shoulders of Giants. You're going to see it for the African History Curriculum app. Download the app and get you some free information. Remember, we also have the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as speaking engagements, lectures, educational classes, all those things. If you want to holler at us, just visit www.ontheshoulders1.com. Yes, that's my other company, On the Shoulders of Giants. www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org. Holla at your homeboy. You want to learn some more about some African history? Told you we tell the stories. Your son's an unsung hero, so holla at. Yeah, so sports, basketball. What the hell has been going on between the sheets in these sports homes? Let's find out. So our HBCU spotlight, you know I got to give him a rundown before we get into it, right? So the HBCU spotlight is going to be aimed at Texas Southern because they upset Baylor in their season opener. Goddamn, Dez Bryant finally got him a team. He signed a deal with the Saints, so we're going to get a little inside of that. A college football player is charged in a double murder plot, so we're going to see what the hell is going on with that. Urban Meyer back up again. Urban Meyer got a brain cyst now. So we're going to get a little more information on that, see what's up with Urban, see what's up with his brain, see what's up with his cyst, and see if everything go together, right? Is Floyd Mayweather planning to fight a kickboxer? Because I heard he backed out of it. But why the hell is Floyd Mayweather even thinking about fighting a kickboxer at this point? Who wants to see that shit? So we're going to get into more of that. Our off-topic shit, South Africa and other African countries are now giving back the land to the black people. Good. Good. Fuck them stealing ass white people over there. Get the land back to the people who it rightfully belongs to. Give y'all an update on college football, an update on NFL. UFC fighter Damon Cromier, he defeats Derek Lewis. The dog, Derek Lewis, the dude who told me his balls was hot, but Derek Cromier defeats Derek Lewis to retain the heavyweight title, so we're going to go in on that. And my weekly or my Friday rant is a throwback story, but it was brought up in the news the other day, and it made my goddamn head hurt, so I had to go in on it. I'm ranting on Jamarcus Russell, who lied about watching blank game tapes while he was the quarterback for the Raiders. Like, they gave the motherfucker blank game tapes, and he lied about watching. So we're gonna let Jamarcus dumbass have it. So let's get to our HBCU spotlight so we can give Texas Southern some love. Throw it up. I can see ya. All right, the Texas Southern men's basketball team made history on Tuesday night with a 72-69 upset win over the Baylor Bears. Sparked by Jalen Patterson's 23 points on 6 of 14 shooting from the field, Texas State was able to become the first SWAC school in history to defeat Baylor by snapping a 56-game Baylor winning streak versus the league, versus the SWAC. But that's not a 56-game winning streak against the SWAC. That's not something to brag about. But Trayvon Reed was extremely efficient for the Tigers offense as he tallied 15 points, going 7-for-9 from the field, grabbing 12 rebounds, had 2 block shots. Devocio Butler chipped in with 13 points, while fellow teammate Jeremy Combs had 11 points, and the Tennessee State head coach Johnny Jones got a huge win for his program. So it was fun, said Jones. The guys were really excited, and to see them celebrate like that means a lot. TSU shot 65% from the field in the second half, and they had clutch baskets by Patterson, and TSU outscored Baylor 45-29 in the second half. See, this is a big deal because Tennessee State ain't supposed to be able to play with Baylor. Baylor supposed to blow Tennessee State the fuck out the gym, but Baylor didn't. Baylor went there and got their ass whooped. Baylor lost in 72-69. That nasty number. That's 69. So, from the Fix Sports Podcast, to Joseph Ward, to you, to everybody around the world, y'all go ahead and put your hands together for Texas Southern University to defeat Baylor in their season opener of the basketball. So, one time for Texas Southern. One time for Patterson. Devocio Butler. One time for Devocio. Jeremy Combs. The coach, Trayvon Reed. One time for him. One time for, Jalen Patterson, all that. For the whole coach, the coaches and everybody. One time. So, Johnny Jones is the coach. Coach Johnny Jones. Coach Johnny. So, 69-72. Texas Southern over Baylor. And Baylor, step your game up, Baylor, or you're going to have a long season. Step your Mickey game up. All right, so Dez Bryant finally got his ass signed to a team. The New Orleans Saints, earlier this week, the New Orleans Saints brought Dez in for a workout. And I guess it kind of works out for him. One of their previous receivers had an injury. That's what made them bring Dez in. So maybe Dez can stop all that goddamn soft-ass tweeting, huh? You hear me? So Dez Bryant is back in the NFL, and he's joining one of the league's top Super Bowl contenders. The former Dallas Cowboy receiver agreed to a one-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. The team announced Bryant's salary is not immediately known. Sources told Adam Schefter that Bryant, who was signed the deal Thursday, is comfortable proving what he can do for a contending team. Sources told Adam Schefter that Dez Bryant, who was signed a deal Thursday, he was signed his deal Thursday, is comfortable for proving what he can do for a contending team this season before becoming a free agent. The Saints are 7-1 and have a 7-game win streak and are the number 2 scoring team in the NFL. They are thin on proven receivers. Veteran Ted Ginn was placed on IR with a knee injury. Cameron Meredith hasn't panned out as hoped in joining the team. He ain't that good. He's restricted free agent. Got 0 targets over the past 3 games. Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara are the Saints' 2 best receivers. And Ben Watson. They got OG Ben Watson. Michael Thomas, OG Ben Watson, Alvin Kamara. But Alvin Kamara is second on the team in receptions as the running back. That's not good, right, for a receiving corps, right? So the Saints are rolling the dice a bit that Bryant will be a good locker room fit with the team on such a good run. But they did the same thing when they traded for former New York Giants cornerback Eli Apple. New Orleans appears to be all in on the Super Bowl run with 39-year-old quarterback Drew Brees, having one of the best seasons of his career as the Saints continue to make aggressive moves to fill holes in the lineup. They also traded for backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater late in the preseason, so they've been had TV. So Bryant, who turned 30 on Sunday, had been on the open market since he was released by the Cowboys in April, and he was, back then, he was due to receive $12.5 million. He's 6'2", 2020, was amongst the NFL best in his prime. He recorded three straight seasons of at least 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns from 2012 to 2014. He earned Pro Bowl invites in 2013, 14, and 16. So his production has been slipping in recent years. He battled foot and knee injuries, and he had 69 catches for 838 yards and six touchdowns in 16 games last year, which is not bad. That's not bad. That's good second receiver numbers. That's not bad. And the Cowboys were ultimately ready to move on from what executive president Stevie Jones described as a fiery personality that could sometimes be a distraction. Jones also set off Bryant when he suggested on the Sirius XM radio interview in July that there was added pressure on young Cowboys quarterback there, Dak Prescott, with Bryant and veteran tight end Jason Witten in his ear. Man, Dak Prescott need to get better. Bryant said in a tweet that was later deleted that he was being used as a scapegoat and that the team's issue was garbage play calling. I don't disagree with that. He also called Cowboys owner Jerry Jones clueless and blamed his release on veterans Travis Frederick and Sean Lee. And he called Sean Lee a snake. Sean Lee was like, man, what the fuck I do to you? Right. Soon after, Bryant tweeted several times that he holds no bitterness towards the Cowboys. Regardless, it should make for an interesting reunion when Bryant and the Saints play on week 13 on Thursday Night Football. Right. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott said Wednesday that it would be exciting to play against Bryant. He also said that he never saw the wide receiver as disruptive. Not at all. Ever since I got here, this was nothing but help for me, Elliott said. Right when I got here, he took me under his wing. You're getting a very passionate football player. You're getting a very passionate individual. I think sometimes it's looked at the wrong way from the people who love this game. From white people, if you're a black person and you're passionate, then you're a distraction. If you're a black person, if you're white and you're passionate, you're a fiery person. But if you're black and you're passionate, you're a distraction, right? So from the people who love this game, who play, they can understand that about being somewhat harder for other people to figure that out. But I think he's going to be a good veteran for the team. So, Dez most likely to be a number two to number three receiver. I think Dez can be an effective number two receiver. Especially, you got the other receiver. Hell, I just said his name. I can't. I've been forgetting people's names. The Saints, I think that was a good Michael Thomas. I think that was a good move for the Saints. I think that was a good move that the Saints could have made. You got you a solid second receiver to go alongside Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. So you got Michael Thomas as the probably the X. Mike probably the X or the Z. Dez gonna be the X or the Z. Michael Thomas, not Michael Thomas, but Ben Watson is the Y. And Alvin Kamara, the wild card, coming out the backfield. Sunday, when he plays Sunday, we will see. They have enough time to incorporate him in the offense. Well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we'll see. And if he don't play this week, he'll play the next week. But Dez Bryant is now a New Orleans Saint. There it is. So moving on in further football news, college football, that is. A college football player charged in the attempted double murder plot. Dun, dun, dun!
What the hell is going on between the sheets in my home?
Hello?
Hey, college football. Oh, hold on. I don't know what this is. This is a little video that they're trying to show for it. But a college football linebacker that I was trying to get a little more information. I think just played on it. But a college football linebacker was accused Tuesday of allegedly plotting to murder the family members of an acquaintance, prosecutor said. What? Rutgers University football player Isaiah Bullitt is I-Z-A-I-A. Don't ever spell a grown man's Isaiah like that ever again. Don't you ever have a boy and spell his name Isaiah like I-Z-A-I-A. No, that's a boy. That's a man. That's a boy. Spell that man's name like it's supposed to. Spell Isaiah the way it's supposed to be spelled. Don't be spelling no Isaiah, no little cutesy way. Man, spell that man name Isaiah. To my I-Z-A-I-A. I would change the spelling of my name once I hit 18. That's just me. But Isaiah Bullock, he's of Piscataway, New Jersey, was charged with two counts of attempted murder and conspiracy. Bullock initiated a plot to murder the family members of an acquaintance, prosecutor said Monday. The alleged intended victims of the plot were not affiliated with the university. Bullock was dismissed from the team, and he would face disciplinary proceedings, according to NewJersey.com. Rutgers coach Chris Ash did not comment on the charges. He joined Rutgers in 2017 as a walk-on, and he played at a private junior college prior to going to Rutgers. He attended Linden High School. Bullock was being held at a Middlesex County Adult Correction Center pending a court appearance in New Brunswick. He played in one game for Rutgers this season. Rutgers football had been plagued with off-the-field issues prior to the start of the 2018 season. Eight players were charged with credit card fraud in August, and four of those players had left the team. The four other players were suspended indefinitely while they deal with their case. Two other former Rutgers players, 26-year-old T.J. Johnson and 22-year-old Andre Boggs, were sentenced in August for their roles in several 2015 home invasions. These boys are stupid motherfuckers, huh? Johnson was sentenced to 12 years in state prison for three armed robberies. Boggs also received a 12-year sentence after pleading guilty to three counts of armed robbery, three counts of armed burglary, and three counts of conspiracy to commit armed robbery. Rutgers just picked dumb fucks, huh? But this motherfucker with his name spelled all fucked up, Isaiah wants to plot to murder the family members of an accomplice. Of somebody he knows. Isaiah, you need to have your ass fucked up. It's just like that little, I was watching a video earlier today, some little fat ass boy, he was in a class, like a middle school classroom, maybe high school, and he punched this old lady in the face. Thinking he hard, he punched the old lady in the face. And then somebody he wants to spend that little, I would have fucked that little boy up. If I knew that lady, I'm fucking that little boy. I'm going to his house. And I'm whooping his ass and everybody else's ass in this house. The same thing with Isaiah. Isaiah needs to be fucked up. Isaiah and everybody else need to be fucked up. Bitch, concentrate on playing football. Why are you focused on anything else other than football, you dumbass? Isaiah, that's why you're going to go to jail and get fucked in your ass, because your name's spelled like the way it is, and you're a stupid motherfucker. What? I know why, because America is a fucked up place. America is a place that breeds fucked up people. Fucked up shit. Murder, rape, and all these things. They're so American, it's ridiculous. Like, America, I wonder why does this happen? Why does this happen? Because we set the foundation for this shit. America was founded on violence, rape, murder, pillaging, and genocide. That's why shit like this happened. But Isaiah Bullock, you need to be fucked up. You have made Piscataway, New Jersey look bad. Isaiah Bullock, you have made the Bullock family look bad. Well, I guess you thought you had shit figured out. Like, this young dude that worked with me, he swear that no matter what he do, even if he wrong, he just get away with it because he want to get away. I got lawyers. Isaiah, if you thought like that, your little dumbass, you see now. I always tell people, the stupid stage for kids, for people, period, the stupid stage is between 12 and 22. I've extended the stupid stage from 12 to 35 because motherfuckers is stupid. Just play football and go to school, Isaiah. Stop trying to be thugged out. You could be as thug as you want to be because you're finna get you a boyfriend, Isaiah. You finna have penis on your mouth, Isaiah, because you're finna get you a boyfriend for being a stupid motherfucker. Hey, you better learn how to make better decisions. And until people like you, dumbass Isaiah, learn how to make better decisions, it is what it is. It's what it's going to be. Your dumbass and your life is fucked up. And the rest of them dumbass players from Rutgers who breaking into people's houses. Hey, if I catch you breaking into my house, I'm gonna try to kill you so hard that you can't, that generations, that family members just fall out dying. I'm gonna try to kill you so hard, right? Leave people shit alone. If you don't have it, learn to do without it. Sometimes you never know. If you just ask somebody, you never know what could happen. If you just ask, just open up your goddamn mouth and ask instead of being a bitch. Fuck you, Isaiah Bullock. You're lucky you didn't end up in my weekly rant, but I want to talk about this more. But fuck you, Isaiah Bullock, and everything you stand for, because you're a dumbass. And we don't need dumbasses like you out in our society. Now, do I think you should just throw him away forever? No. Don't throw Isaiah away. Don't throw Isaiah away, but Isaiah needs to be rehabilitated. Isaiah needs to learn something new. But he do need to get fucked up for attempting to murder a motherfucker. For being in on the plot. You want to be part of the plot. You want to be a mastermind. Isaiah, they finna mastermind your ass in that jail. How about that? They gonna take turns masterminding your ass in that jail cell. I tell you that, Isaiah. They gonna see how your name is spelled. Ooh, your name is spelled I-Z-A-I-A. Ooh, I know you. I know you ready for it. They gonna get your ass, Isaiah. Stupid ass boy. Hey, man, we got to do better at being mentors and influencers. Hey, adults, we got to do better. People who are adults, we got to do better, B. Got to do better. So let's move on. More football news. More Urban Meyer football news. So after all of the lying and all the other bullshit that Urban Meyer went through this time with Zach Smith and Zach Smith's wife and Courtney and domestic violence and all that stuff, not only is Urban a fuckboy, not only is he a liar, not only is he a dumbass, but Urban Meyer has a cyst on his brain. And that's causing his headaches, and I'm sure he wants sympathy for that. So Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer says he suffers from headaches due to a cyst on his brain, according to Yahoo Sports. Meyer said he has a congenital, I can't even say it the other way, he has a congenital cyst in his brain and takes medication to manage. I wonder how long has he known he had that, right? I just want people to know what's going on, Meyer said, about revealing his cyst. I've been dealing with it for several years. Meyer was first diagnosed with the cyst in 1998 as an assistant coach at Notre Dame. Meyer underwent brain surgery in 2014 to remove fluid in order to reduce intracranial pressure. The pain began to bother Meyer again in 2015 and 2016, but he said it has been severe at times during the past two seasons. During Ohio State's game at Indiana on October 6th, Meyer bent down to take a knee due to pain from a headache. The team training doctor tended to him. That's what Paul Feinbaum was talking about. So remember what I told you, Paul Feinbaum said he believes that Urban Meyer going to hang up after this year. His brain sits. Keep an eye on that. But Paul Feinbaum was also talking about noticing that Urban Meyer went down to a knee during one of those games that Indiana game. It looked like he had complications. That was due to that cyst on his brain. So Paul Feinbaum might be right. On Monday, Meyer fielded questions about his health after reporters wondered if he was returning to coach 2019. However, Meyer insisted that he was fine health-wise. Meyer took a leave of absence from coaching Florida in 2009 due to an ongoing health concerns. 1 year later, the longtime coach resigned to focus on health and family. So, and the team wasn't that good, you know. Urban Meyer, you know. But Paul Feinbaum said this. Paul, so we're going to definitely keep our eye on this, especially for the health. You know, we don't want folk dying and stuff, but, you know, Urban Meyer do be doing some fucked up shit. So we're going to keep an eye on that. But Paul Feinbaum said it first. He think this is going to be Urban Meyer's last season coaching, especially Ohio State. So we're going to see. Now we know he has a cyst on his brain, and he has had this cyst since 1998. So he had chest pains back when he was at Florida, even though he still had the cyst, but it wasn't severe. And it's more severe now, I'm guessing, with all the stress of coaching, it will cause the cyst to act up. Hopefully, I wish you good health, Urban, but you are football who be lying. So I will say it like that. Urban Meyer do be lying. He be on some fuck shit. And in order to be on some fuck shit and do fuck boy shit, you got to be a fuck boy, right? So Urban Meyer is a fuck boy, but I do wish him well in his health. Because you don't want to see nobody health-wise fucked up. You don't want to see nobody health-wise fucked up. But Urban Meyer got to stop lying. And he got to stop being a fuck boy, too. Let's just call it. Yeah, dig. Yeah, dog. All right, so moving on in further sports news, Floyd Mayweather is supposed to be fighting a kickboxer. So last week, that's what I was hearing. Floyd Mayweather is fighting a kickboxer. But now that they're saying he's not fighting the dude, he backed out of it. And Tenshin Nasukawa, the name of the kickboxer, the Japanese kickboxer that Floyd is supposed to be fighting, Tenshin Nasukawa. So Floyd Mayweather appears to have backed out of a planned New Year's Eve fight with Japanese kickboxer Tenshin Nasukawa. That's the 3 days after he prepared at a Tokyo press, after he appeared at a Tokyo press conference now announcing the bout, claiming he was blindsided by the promoter regarding the nature and magnitude of the event. Floyd, sit your old ass down, man. Learn how to do something other with your money. Nobody want to see you fight no more. You 40 plus, man. Stop it. We already know what you are. The five-division boxing champion said in an Instagram post on Wednesday that he had agreed to the three-round exhibition purely for entertainment purposes with no intentions of being represented as an official fight card and was completely derailed by the new direction the event was going. On Monday, the Renzen Fighting Federation, a Japanese mixed martial arts company, announced Mayweather would fight Nasukawa. The undefeated 20-year-old kickboxing prodigy, during an hour-long press conference in downtown Tokyo district of Roppongi, attended by the American boxer and ONE Entertainment CEO Brent Johnson, the marketing executive who helped broker the deal and a relatively new face in Mayweather's tight-knit inner circle. The fight between Mayweather and Nasukawa was to headline the Renzen 14 card that had already been scheduled for December 31st at the Saitama Super Arena outside of Tokyo, but key stipulations including the contracted weight, number of rounds, type of gloves, and crucially, the rules set under which the bout would take place were left unannounced. When pressed over the details during Monday's press conference, Mayweather appeared unconcerned, saying, "We'll talk about that. We'll get that situation within the next couple weeks. As far as the weight class, we're not really worried about that. When it's all said and done, it'll be about me going out there and displaying my skills against another skillful fighter." This is added from Johnson. "We put this together very quickly, but with a great deal of professionalism, and we look forward to keeping that going for the rest of our tenure together, however many years that may be." But in Wednesday's statement, Mayweather implied he was ambushed, admitting that he should have put a stop to it immediately, but he was hesitant to create a huge disturbance, right? "I want to sincerely apologize to my fans for the very misleading information that was announced during this press conference. And I can assure you that I, too, was completely blindsided by the arrangements that were being made without my consent nor approval," Mayweather said. Several phone calls and messages to Mayweather, Johnson, and Leonard Ellerbe, the fighter's longtime manager, were not immediately returned on Wednesday. The video promoting the fight posted in Renzen's official public relations Twitter account roughly 4 hours before Mayweather's announcement had not been removed as of Wednesday. "I don't want to see this fight. I'm going to just put like, Mayweather, hang it up, dog. Let it go. Let it go, dog. Let it go. Hang it up. We don't need you fighting no more. You don't have to fight. Like, let it go." And then you trying to do all these specialty fights, all these all these other types of fights. Like, bruh, you the dude, you the GOAT, you the GOAT. Just be the GOAT. All that money you've made, if you need money, then you're not that smart, because you've made a hell of a lot of money. I think they said you made $500 million fights over your last three or four fights. $500 million over your last three or four fights. I think that's what Shannon Sharpe said when I was watching. You made enough money to not have to put yourself in dumb situations, bro. Don't nobody want to see you fight. Don't nobody want to see you fight a kickboxer, bro. Nasukawa, no, nothing against you, Nasukawa, but that's a fight we don't want to see at all. We don't want to see Floyd Mayweather fighting anybody else. Be 40-0, 50-0, whatever the fuck your record is. Be that and call it a life. Like, let it go. Like, let it go. You know, we don't need you fighting no more, especially these crazy little fights, because it's not like you're going to fight the dude kickbox. It's not like you're going to kickbox the dude. You're going to box the dude. You're going to make him box you. So that will put you at an advantage. We don't want to see you box this dude. Come on, Floyd. So, yeah. We're not fucking with that. Floyd Mayweather, stay your ass retired. Stop with the bullshit. Find other things to do. If you can't, I don't know what to tell you. Last thing we want to do is see your old ass, 40 plus ass, still out here trying to fight, still out here trying to be the man. Stop it. All right. So, and I'm doing my off topic. Oh, yeah. I'm doing my off topic shit this episode. You know, usually I do it on my Mondays. I'm doing it because complications, internet, and all that stuff there. So I haven't been able to have my Mondays like I want. But we will be back on this month, this upcoming Monday. And that date is the 12th. So we'll have a big show back on the 12th. Just a lot of stuff went wrong, but, you know. So I got to do my off-topic shit, and I'll come back with the off-topic shit on Monday. So, in our off-topic shit segment, South Africa is giving back land to black people as a compromise for ignoring their growing anger. Because, you know, back when Nelson Mandela and them was getting out of prison, all this thing, negotiations, basically negotiations were made. And I was talking to my mom about this earlier. Because, you know, you got to read. Like, you got to read. Nelson Mandela made some moves. Some very, very questionable moves. Put it like this, Nelson Mandela made moves to make you look at him as a sellout. He probably did say, hey, I think Nelson Mandela sold the people of South Africa out. But, because if you think about it, the people of South Africa are fighting back for their lands from white people who stole their land. And Nelson Mandela made some kind of move, some kind of agreement. But, and not just in South Africa, but in other places in Africa, the Africans are fighting back to get their land back from the Europeans. The Europeans are like, well, we stole this land 8 generations ago, so it's really ours. The Africans are like, nah, bitch, unass that land before we fuck y'all up, right? So, if you want economic change in South Africa, create a crisis, then stand by to negotiate a way out. The country's current debate over land exploration, expropriation without compensation, which has now been endorsed by Parliament, is important. Not because, as some fear, it will radically change the Constitution. Rather, it tells South Africans how, in the economy and other spheres, the country deals with its minority-ruled past by crisis followed by compromise. Crises are the only way change happens, because since the 1970s, the goal of the minority, which has called the shots in the society, meaning the white people, for decades have been to ensure that changes alter as little as possible because some crackers want to keep the land. Thank you, Nelson Mandela. Thank you. Which, of course, means clinging to many of the inequalities which existed before all adults were allowed to vote in 1994. Thank you, Nelson Mandela. So most businesses and professional practices and places of learning do not change until a crisis forces them to look again at what they need to give up to keep things as much as the same as possible. Because this means keeping black demands for change at arm's length. The crisis always happens when black people get angry with current arrangements and make demands which force a reaction. The negotiations which produced the 1994 Constitution began because the cost of black anger and apartheid were growing. Right, and apartheid was alive and well then. They followed reforms to labor law, which were triggered when angry strikers in Durban demanded pay increases in 1973. And the end of curbs which kept black people out of the cities, a reaction to the anger of the 1976 Soweto protest and the refusal of angry migrant workers in the same year to live in single-sex hostels. Recently, it took angry protests on campus to trigger discussions at universities on how to change to meet the needs of Black students. Race is debated seriously only when Black people get angry over racial prejudice and advancing our company behavior on social media. And that's true. Nobody takes shit serious till Black people show their fucking ass, right? That's why I'm down for Black people showing out. The crisis always ends in compromise, right? Because it's a lot of people. Because none of the country's key interests can impose what they want on the others without severely hurting themselves. This is particularly so in the economy. Forcing change on the owners of capital will kill investment and growth. Ignoring demands for reform will trigger costly resistance. The land debate illustrates the point. Moves to change the Constitution are dramatic because they threaten the property rights on which the market economy rests. Fuck them white people, right? They are therefore the most significant expressions of Black anger at the survival of pre-1994 inequalities since South Africa became a democracy, a whiteocracy, right? Inevitably, they have prompted a crisis. A public debate which has been fixated on former President Jacob Zuma is now discussing economic divides. The debate is polarized and heated, but among middle-class Black people, support for the change seems overwhelming. Outsiders might be surprised that tensions caused by economic inequalities focus on land. Farming has not been South Africa's key industry for decades. The reason it triggers such heat is that for South Africans, land is a symbol of how far more than expanse of soil. For most people, it has nothing to do with agriculture at all. Historically, the demand by Black freedom movements for the return of land meant the return of the country to its people. It was directed not only at ownership of farms, but at minority control of the economy and society. This is why expropriation without compensation has become a rallying cry for many who have no interest in farming, but who feel that a quarter century of democracy has not ended white privilege or apartheid or white supremacy, whatever you want to call it. It symbolizes a much broader demand for change. It is also why no one has paid much attention to arguments about the technical merits of land expropriation and why there is such support for constitutional change despite the fact that there is no need for it because expropriation without compensation is possible. So just all in all, the people in South Africa and a compromise with Maize and land will be given back to people in South Africa. And we're starting to see that in other countries, in other African countries, that land is starting to be given back to the people, of course, with some kind of compromises and thing. But I will tell the people, learn from what happened in the 90s with Nelson Mandela. Now, make sure you ain't getting fucked over. Make sure that the people who are bargaining on your behalf got your best interest. And if they don't, you're going to have to kick their ass. Because what you don't want to be is 30, 40 years from now still fighting for your land. That can't happen because the people who were supposed to make sure you get what you needed didn't show up and show out. They had ulterior motives. They had hidden agendas, Nelson Mandela. Hidden agendas that will, because think about it, like, he was an enemy of the land. He comes out after 27 years and he's president. White people love him. White people don't love people who fight for the freedom and rights of Black people. If you ever see somebody that white people love who actually fought for the freedom and the liberation and the rights of Black people, that's because that person has some kind of compromise with the white people. See, Nelson Mandela pulled a reverse Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King had dealings with the white folk in the beginning until he woke up and realized these crackers is crooked. Nelson Mandela had the other way around. But see, they had a little on them too, because after 27 years of prison and stuff, you know, in my opinion, that's why Winnie Mandela left him and divorced him, because she knew he sold out. So, but that's just a little information about the land being given back to the people of South Africa. Forget them white folk who, this is our land. No. You stole the land. The land was stolen. Get up. So, talk a little football. A little football, right? And you know, the college football playoff poll came out, and when it last came out, you know, Bama 1, Clemson 2, what was it? Bama 1, Clemson 2, Michigan 3. Who's number 4? I'm fucking up. I don't forgot who number 4 was. I'm looking for it. Because I was trying to just pull it out the top of my head. Who was four? We'll find out as I go through these scores, right? So, man, should I get the right week? Get to the right week. Come on, man. Is this it? Yeah, all right. So, week 10 to 15. So, we ain't week 10 of college football. Damn, we ain't week 10 of college football. Shit. So, Kent State beat Bowling Green 35-28 last weekend. Miami of Ohio fell to Buffalo 51-42. Toledo tops Ball State 45-13. Ohio beat Western Michigan 59-14. Northern Illinois beat Akron 36-26. UCF beat Temple 52-40. And I believe, yep, UCF is still undefeated. So they should, I do know why. They keep saying UCF ain't playing nobody. But UCF just keep winning, but they're not going up in polls. Clemson, the number 2 team in the nation, beat Louisville 77-16. Texas A&M fell to Auburn 24-28. Syracuse beat Wake Forest 41-24. Iowa State beat Kansas 27-3. Nebraska lost to Ohio State 31-36. Georgia moving up and stuff like that. Georgia beat Kentucky 34-17. Michigan State beat Maryland 24-3. West Virginia beat Texas 42-41. Purdue beat Iowa 38-36. Michigan beat Penn State 42-7. NC State beat Florida State 47-28. Boston College beat Virginia Tech 31-21. Missouri beat Florida, 15-ranked Florida at that, 38-17. Mississippi State beat La Tech, Louisiana Tech, 45-3. Oh, Notre Dame, number 3. All right, so Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, they're my top 4. Then Georgia, somewhere in there, too. Not in the top 4, though, but. Notre Dame beat Northwestern, 31-21. Oklahoma beat Texas Tech, 51-6. And they in there, too, Oklahoma, Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, Michigan, and Clemson, right? Top 16. Alabama mollywop LSU 29-0 in Death Valley. Fresno State beat UNLV 48-3. Washington beat Stanford 27-23. Washington State beat California 19-13. And Utah beat Hawaii. Utah State beat Hawaii 56-17. Nobody touching Alabama no time. So this LSU game was the one game that we thought Alabama would get tested, and they blanked them both. So we're just looking forward to the college football playoffs, people, for that Alabama-Auburn game. So. And from Wednesday or Thursday, you had Kent State lost to Buffalo, 14-48, and Northern Illinois beat Toledo 38-15. That's college football. Let's talk some NFL. Week nine in the NFL. I'm mad that my Cowboys lost to the Titans. We got Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott just forcing the ball to him. So the Raiders lost to the 49ers 34-3. And they're about. John Gruden over there not looking good. The Falcons beat the Redskins, and I'm glad they beat the Redskins 38-14, but hell, the Cowboys need to win. The Vikings beat the Lions 24-9. That's good for the Vikings because that's a division win. The Steelers beat the Ravens 23-16. The Chiefs beat the Browns 37-21. The Dolphins beat the Jets 13-6 in the division win. The Bears beat the Bills 41-9. And the Bears have been looking good, too. The Panthers beat the Bucks 42-28. Shout out to Cam Newton. Chargers beat the Seahawks 25-17. Texans beat the Broncos 17-19. The Patriots beat the Cowboys. You had the grand goat versus the up and coming goat. So Brady versus Rodgers, and the grand goat showed them why he was the grand goat, and they won 31-17. The Saints, the other goat, and Because, like, Tom Brady's a triple OG GOAT. Then Drew Brees, like, a double OG GOAT. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a G-GOAT, just a G-GOAT, right? Cause he almost a double G-GOAT, but he's just a G-GOAT, right? So the Rams lost to the Saints 35-45. And the Rams, I'm telling y'all, man, the Rams defense, sometimes, man, they can be very, very, very porous. I know we went through this couple episodes ago, but the Rams defense can be very, 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 very porous. And it's third or fourth time this season that they gave up 30-plus points. And like I said, the Cowboys lost to the Titans 28-14. I wish Jerry Jones would just leave football all alone. Jerry Jones be fucking shit up. But, yeah, so that's NFL Week 9. And further news, let me move on. And further news, UFC news, Daniel Cormier, he gets Derrick Lewis, big Derrick Lewis. Derrick Lewis talking about his balls hot. He got Derrick Lewis to tap out in the second round and retain his belt. And Daniel Cormier is a damn good fighter. So Cormier added several more notes to his historic resume Saturday night in a successful heavyweight title defense against Derrick Lewis at UFC 230. Cormier's 22-1 became the first fighter in UFC history to officially hold two titles simultaneously and successfully defend both. He submitted Lewis, who was 21-6 via rear naked choke in 2 minutes and 14 seconds of the second round in about the headline UFC 230 at Madison Square Garden. It was the first UFC heavyweight title fight at New York City's historic venue, and Cormier delivered another iconic image for the photo archives. All three UFC cards held in the Madison Square Garden have featured victories by two weight champions in Cormier, George St. Pierre, and Conor McGregor. It's history, baby, said Cormier, who improved his heavyweight record to 15-0. History in the making, Daniel Cormier, one of the best of all time. I think a lot of people have to understand, I've been doing this for 9 years. I fought at the championship level for 8 of them. There are no surprises with me. If you have a puncher's chance, that's not enough. You have to be one of the best in the world to even compete. That's how I motherfucking feel. I've been at this for a while. I've been at this podcast and shit for a while. I'm the fucking best. That's how I feel. Saturday's fight marked Cormier's first heavyweight title defense, and the victory kept a planned matchup against WWE star Brock Lesnar intact. But he gonna beat Lesnar. Lesnar shouldn't be at this. We all know Brock Lesnar can't fight. Brock Lesnar, when you come, bring that new WWE title. Cormier said, I feel like being a WWE champion too. Let's go, Brock, bring that belt. Brock Lesnar going to get his ass whooped. Cormier was a significant betting favorite going into Saturday, and it was clear. And it was clear why, excuse me. The former U.S. Olympic wrestler easily took Lewis down, and although Lewis managed to work back to his feet on several occasions, Cormier stuck to him and gave him no space to land any offense. I kind of knew that Lewis is going to lose because Lewis is still learning the UFC and he's more of a striker. He's just a straight up fighter. Cormier is a trained fighter. It's the difference between, you know, being a fighter and being a trained fighter, right? Lewis threw several haymakers in the second round with bad intentions, but Cormier slipped the shots and calmly went about taking him back to the floor. The finish came after Lewis tried to turtle up and stand. Cormier transitioned to his back and sank in the choke. Cormier finished the fight 4-for-4 on takedowns and outlanded Lewis 19-4 on significant strikes, according to the fight metric. Cormier of Louisiana has said he will retire by his 40th birthday in March. The American Kickboxing Academy product has only lost to former light heavyweight champion John Jones. Jones will fight Alexander Gustafsson for the light heavyweight championship on December 29th, at which point Cormier will give up his 25-pound title. But Cormier and Jones have said they don't feel a third fight between them is necessary. Cormier lost to Jones twice at 205 pounds, but the second fight in July 2017 was changed to a no contest after Jones failed the drug test. Dana White told ESPN in the past week, however, that he feels that a third fight between them is inevitable. They're going to have to do it. They're going to have to do that. Lewis of Houston earned a title shot with a 9-1 record in his past 10 bouts. He was coming off a quick turnaround, having just fought Alexander Volkov at UFC 229 on October 6th. That's what I'm saying. He just fought. You know what surprised me, Cormier said? When I took that last shot, he punched me in the eye on the way in. I was blinking for about 30 seconds thinking, what in the world was that? Everything he did held unbelievable. Everything he did held unbelievable power. What a guy Derek Lewis is. That's that is. That is. So Daniel Cormier telling y'all, he took his best, but he was the better fighter. So one time for Cormier for retaining his title at UFC 230. All right, people. Do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? Do you? Huh? Huh? Do you? Do you know? Huh? Huh? Do you? Do you? Do you? It's weekly rant. It's Friday rant. It's Friday rant time, and baby, we down. We got the rant. We got the rant. Well, if I don't rant, then I won't be an ant. So yeah, I got stuck. I ain't know what the hell. I don't know. I just rhymed rant with ant because it was right there. If I don't got no rant, then you ate by some ants. I got the rant. All right, as I told y'all, it's kind of a throwback because I'm getting on Jamarcus Russell, fat old ass. Because I saw the story and I was like, damn, Jamarcus Russell was given blank game tapes to go home and watch. They were just trying to see if this motherfucker was a lying motherfucker. This motherfucker lied. He didn't even try to pop the tapes in and see. He just lied. Said, yeah, dog. You know what I'm saying, my dog? Man, look, dog. Blitzing. Going to football, dog. Catching football, dog. You know, lines and shit. Yeah, dog. Slants and flats and shit. Yeah, my nigga. You know what I'm talking about, my nigga? Right? Then they found that he was a dumbass. So let's read. The Oakland Raiders took some extreme measures to prove that Jamarcus Russell wasn't doing anything in his power to be a good NFL player. And this is now hindsight. Jamarcus Russell told me, I play in the NFL for free. Shut up, bitch. You had a chance to play and make a large amount of money. You fucked that up. Shut up, bitch. Appearing on New York's WFAN, Andrew Merchant of the New York Post, former offensive line David Dill, said Raiders coaches used to give Russell blank tapes to determine if he was studying film. Dill noted Russell, and that's David Dill, the offensive lineman. Dill noted Russell would come to the Raiders facility the day after receiving the tapes, saying that he watched the blitz pack. Who would have known that Russell wasn't fully dedicated to being an NFL quarterback? His 52.1 completion percentage, 18 touchdowns, and 23 interceptions in 31 games turned him into the biggest draft bust in history. They're talking about one of them. He's the biggest draft bust in history. So if the Raiders didn't draft him, they could have had Calvin Johnson, Joe Thomas, Patrick Willis, or Derek Reeves with the number one pick in that class. Fuck you. Like, Jamarcus Russell is an example of stupid bitches. What stupid bitches do, because they just stupid bitches. Jamarcus Russell had no intent on being somebody in life. And that shit just, well, you know, I ain't gonna lie. Shit like that pissed me off. Like, somebody like me, because I've never had anything handed to me. I've never had it easy. I've never, like, still to this day, if I have something, I got to work my ass off for it. I got to bust my ass for it. And to make that thing pop and to make other people, I got to fucking kill myself. You know how much sleep I have to lose to be successful? You know how much work I have to, Joseph Ward, I have to put in to be successful? You know how many obstacles and motherfuckers and just bullshit that just happens to me to be successful? That's why it pisses me off when I see motherfuckers who have opportunities to be something, like you got the opportunity to do something different and you just want to be a stupid motherfucker. Like, give me that opportunity. Give me some of these opportunities some of these other motherfuckers have that they just be fucking up and throwing away. Give me those opportunities so I can show you all how to capitalize on this shit. You guys would be surprised the shit, the clawing I have to do. The clawing I have to do just to make something out of myself. But I feel like the universe has said, you are going to have it hard, my child. And just, it's a fucking uphill battle to do every fucking thing. Like it's part of me just venting too. Cause it's fucking difficult. It's hard. It's taxing. Like the word easy don't mean shit to me. I've never had anything easy in my life. Everything that I've had, everything that I've participated in, I had to bust my ass. You know how many failures I've experienced? You know how many failures I'm still experiencing? And Jamarcus Russell had everything he wanted in his hands and threw that shit away because he wouldn't commit himself. Man, please. That shit pissed me off. Because I know how hard I work to be somebody. Like, I see other motherfuckers who just be pissing away opportunities. And I be like, damn, I've never gotten an opportunity like that. Like, people don't fuck with me like that. Like, people do not fuck with me like that. I don't know what the hell, but shit just don't fuck with me like that. Like, if it's going to happen for me, I'm going to have to damn near kill myself for it to happen. And which is not something that I like. Like, shit, motherfucker, throw me some luck sometime, right? Throw me some luck. I have to literally scrape, claw, crime, and damn near kill myself to be somebody. And I see stupid motherfuckers all the time, like Jamarcus Russell, dumbass, just pissing away opportunities. Bro, give me these opportunities, motherfuckers be pissing away. I'll show you how to do that shit. Man, please. Y'all crazy as hell, man. Jamarcus Russell, you are the biggest draft bust in NFL history. You are the biggest waste of time, money, energy, space, athletic ability, thought, process, progress, all that shit. Any word, you are the biggest waster of all of that. Fuckboy is written all over you. You're the president of the National Fuckboy Society. Because you had everything you needed to be successful, right? That you were in environments that was going to help make you more successful. And you fucked it all up. Because you wanted to be cool. Man, please. Universe. The universe. I'm sitting here right now. Give me these opportunities you give these other people. I got my head to the sky. I'm looking at the sky right now. Give me these opportunities you be giving other people. And I'll show you how to turn this shit out. I don't want to come up the rough side of the mountain. I want life to be easy. I want to be able to accomplish my goals without having to go through fuck shit all the time and years and years and years of fuck shit. Give me the opportunities. Give me the luck. Give me the hinges and nods that other people get. And people just be pissing these opportunities away. Jamarcus Russell, you are stupid. Now, to my man, I plan to leave for free. No, you won't plan to leave for free. This bitch ain't finna give you no more chances. Why would somebody give you another chance and you pissed all that away? Why? Nobody's gonna give you another chance. You pissed it all away, being a dumbass. And nobody should have any sympathy for you. I don't. I'm just mad that I don't get these fucking opportunities. Right? Give me these opportunities, goddammit. Give me the chance to show the fucking world what I'm made of. Listen, people, whenever you get an opportunity, take it from me. I've been coming up the rough side of the mountain my whole life. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. If I don't create it, it may not happen for me. I'm at that point in my life where I realize that if I don't create it, it may not happen for me. I have no faith in other people looking out for me. The way I look out, the way I can look out for me. I have no faith in anybody else looking out for me the way I can look out for me. Right? Because, first of all, it's nobody else's job to look out for me. But we do live in a society where you see people getting nods and looked out for all the time. That shit don't happen for me like that. I have to make it happen. So when I see motherfuckers like that, it just pisses me off. For somebody who has to scrape, somebody have to claw. Blood, sweat, and tears. That shit is real with me. That shit is real. Like, the word easy don't mean nothing. I've never had anything come easy to me in life. And the universe don't seem to be slowing down No matter, I'm 34, about to be 35 in 2 months, and the shit ain't slowing down. Life ain't getting no easier. And shit is more confusing, shit is more hard, and I'm working my ass off. Working my ass off to be somebody, to fucking make it, to make sure that the things that I'm putting my energy into, that I can fucking reap a reward from this shit. I'm planting my fucking seeds. I'm watering my fucking seeds. I'm tending to my shit. I just want the fruits of my labor. Right? So when I see and I hear these stories, it pisses me the fuck off, because the amount of work that I have to do to just exist, and I see people who get these opportunities and just piss them away from being stupid motherfuckers. Like that Rutgers football player. He wanna do a plot to kill a bitch. Shut up, you stupid motherfucker. Jamarcus Russell, you ain't the stupidest motherfucker, but you a stupid motherfucker. You was a stupid motherfucker. Hey, people, whenever you get an opportunity to do something that you've always wanted to do, give your best. 100%. Put 100% into it. If not, you're going to regret it, and you're going to be a fuckboy or a pussy hoe for that. Like, it just is. It just is. I mean, like, damn, like, you can't put yourself in fucked up positions and then get mad. I can see if you started off at fucked up, because you don't know no better. That's just where you started off. You can't help starting off in fucked up. You can help putting yourself in fucked up. And that's what Jamarcus Russell and a lot of you other motherfuckers right now. Right now, Jamarcus Russell is just a euphemism for stupid motherfuckers. Take it from somebody who got the fucking scrape to get where the fuck I need to go. Shit has never been hard. I mean, never been easy for me. It's always been hard. I don't get handouts. I don't get people calling me and all this other shit. People just randomly want to give hands up and hands out. That shit don't happen to me. Anything you see me doing, I made that shit happen. I had to make that shit happen. Sometimes I sit back and question, well, damn, don't nobody want to fuck with me? I don't do nothing but go out of my way to help other folk. I don't do nothing but put my best foot forward. I don't do nothing but give my time back to my people, my community, to try to make sure it gets better. But do I get the same in return? Nah, I don't. But I don't do it for that. I do it because that shit is what I want to do. But the thing about that at the end of the day is, I understand that when I get an opportunity, the opportunities that I've been working for, when I get that opportunity, I'm going to take full advantage of it. I'm going to be the best. Whether I created the opportunity or somebody else afforded me the opportunity, I'm going to be the best. I refuse to lose. But I'm also tired of fucking coming up the rough side of the mountain as well. That shit's for the birds. That shit's for the birds. So whenever you get the opportunity, if somebody is helping you out, be a smart person. Take full advantage. If not, I'm going to cuss your dumb ass out. Hey, man, this is the Fix Sports Podcast. I am Joseph Ward, your host extraordinaire, your person who take you on your journey. So this is Sports from the Black Perspective. I love you all. This is the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Two fingers in the air, like you just don't care, and wave them on around. Just don't touch my goddamn hair. I'll catch y'all on Monday.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
I was
going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from